as we lift our voice in praise. It's you that I see. It's you that I see. Sing it out.
Beloved, you're about to listen to a message by Pastor Prince Laye. Pastor Prince Laye is the head pastor of Rescue World Chapel International and the lead evangelist of Christ the Healer Gospel Campaign. He has a dynamic teaching and healing ministry with miracles, signs and wonders that has affected and transformed many lives. And now, the voice of rescue.
We want to thank you for your spirit and your presence in our midst of our Soul-Filled Harvesters Conference. And we know that, Lord, the reason for your coming and the reason for your dying on the cross shall be made alive in our spirit, that we'll be able to wake up to the work of the ministry, and as children of God and as saints, we'll be edified to do the work of the ministry in order to expand the kingdom of God. Let, O God, an encounter that will change us from lazy, and an encounter that will change us from dormant level and status, that will move us to the place where we are actively involved in expanding heaven and filling it with people and filling the church with people. Let that encounter land on our lives this evening. We pray that everyone in this church shall receive a baptism of fire by the preaching of these words. As I sow these words into their heart, let us harvest more souls in the church. Let us harvest more souls in the kingdom of God. And let many, many more people enter into heaven. In Jesus' precious name, shout and clap your hands as you give the Lord an amen. Hallelujah. Take back your seat. God bless you. God bless you. Everyone should be seated. God richly bless you. By the way, you are still welcome to the Soul-Filled Harvesters Conference. Welcome. Clap your hands for yourself. Clap your hands. It's not everybody who is interested in spiritual things like this. And I'm very, very excited that you and I have made it a point to make what concerns God our concern and to attend to the needs of the kingdom. Amen. As you attend to the spiritual matters, may God attend to your own financial matters. May God attend to your natural matters. Shout an amen. Oh, shout an amen. So yesterday we began looking at the harvest is ripe. The harvest is ripe. Therefore trust in your sickle. And yesterday I only explained to the half of the topic, the harvest is ripe. I didn't eat into trust in the sickle. So today I'm going to finish it. The harvest is ripe. Trust in your sickle. Trust. That means that put in your sword or put in your sickle. And we explain some few things. That number one, harvest here refers to souls that must be saved. That means just as crops are harvested, so when we talk about harvest, we are talking about souls. Souls that must be reaped. Souls that must be rescued. Souls that must be saved. And we saw that in Matthew 9:36. Again, number two, we said harvest also refers to the end of the world. That means the end of the world. When Jesus says that the harvest is here, what he's trying to say is that the end of the world is here. The harvest is here, or the harvest is ripe. What he's trying to say is that the end of the world is at hand, where God will separate his children from the evil ones. God will separate his children from the evil ones. And we saw that also in Matthew 13:39 and Revelation 20:15 explain more to us about hell. And Revelation 21:8 further explain. Luke 16:19 also gave us an example, a practical example of people who experienced especially the rich man who experienced the hell experience. And we realize that it is very, very true that there is an end that is coming where people will find themselves either in heaven or in hell. My prayer for you and your family is that you will find yourself in heaven. You are not here at all. I said my prayer for you and your loved ones is that you will find yourself in heaven. And it is your duty to ensure that your family is saved. Joshua said, for me and my house, That should be your prayer. That you and your house, you and your family, you should make it for eternity. Amen. You should make it in heaven. Clap your hands for the Lord. So anyone who comes around in your life, you have to ensure that you lead them to Christ so that they will also have a good place with the Lord. Number three, we said the harvest is huge or plentiful. The harvest is huge or plentiful. The harvest is huge. That means that the number of souls that must be harvested is huge. The number of souls that must be preached to is huge. There are not few people. So we need more laborers, more people. If God will have to use only one Pastor Prince to enter into all of us, our homes, to preach to our family members and follow us to our schools, to witness to the people in our schools and follow us to our offices, to witness to the people in our workplaces, when will the work be done? When will the work be finished? We will not be able to finish till Jesus comes. But if you and you and you and you get involved in the preaching of the gospel, in the preaching of the salvation message, then you go to your home, you go to your house, you go to your school, you go to your workplace, whilst I also preach in other places, and together we'll be harvesting more. Amen. Oh, amen. Is that a truthful statement? Clap your hands for the Lord. Tell the one seated by you, if you will preach and I will preach, tell the person, if you will preach and I will preach. Oh, are you here tonight? Did you come for a conference? Tell someone, if you will preach and I will also preach, then we can win more for Jesus. If you will invite and I will also invite, then we will lead many people to Jesus. So start doing your work. Hallelujah. And remind the person that on the 25th of this month, we have Operation Seat by Your Soul. Tell them, have you started working on it? Ask the person, but have you started working on who you are bringing? I am praying that some people will come with double, not one. Some people will make God surprised. And God will say, wow, you will have somebody sitting in front of you, somebody sitting behind you, somebody sitting on your left, and somebody sitting on your right. When you come, you tell the usher, Mr. Usher, wait. For me, someone will sit in front, behind, left, and right. Because I am bringing four instead of one. Shout an amen. Oh, how many people are going to do that? You are going to make sure that on the 25th, and that means you should start from now. You should start from now. You should be witnessing to people and telling them that, in fact, I'm taking you to my church this month. This month, you must start serving God. This month, there was no woman and couple. You have to be serious about it. Can I have an amen? Amen. Clap your two hands together for Jesus. Yeah. If you bring the person just to come and visit on that day and go back home, you've done nothing for the kingdom. You've done nothing. But if you bring someone who has come to stay, someone who you are brought for the person to stay, then it will be a blessing. Hallelujah. So the harvest is huge. And number four, we said the harvest is ripe. The harvest is ripe. The harvest is ripe. I hope you are giving them the scriptures, right? The harvest is ripe. Number four, it is ripe. And we said ripe here means it is ready to be harvested. Ready to be reaped. Ready to be reaped. Ready to be harvested. Ready. Jesus said in John from chapter 4 verse 31 all the way to 36. Let us read that one as we begin for today. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, do you remember where we read from yesterday? I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore, the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? And then Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Say, I will do the will of him who sent me and I will finish the work of God. Do you not say there are still 4 months, then the harvest will come? In other words, don't you people speculate or don't you guess when there will be rainy season, there will be dry season, when there will be harvest? Behold, I also say to you, Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields. Lift up your eyes from all your troubles, from all the things that makes you worried, make you sad. Lift up your eyes from your personal needs. Lift up your eyes from your selfishness. Lift up your eyes from just today and what you will eat and what you will drink and what you will become. Lift up your eyes away from yourself and look. Tell somebody, lift up your eyes. Oh, I said, tell someone, lift up your eyes from yourself and look at others. They must also make it to heaven. Hallelujah. Said, behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. They are already white. In other words, the fields are white. They are ready. They are ready for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages. And listen, take notice of this verse. Yesterday, because I was rushing, I could not tell you something which is a mystery in this verse. He says, and take note, everybody look at the verse 36. He said, the reaper is already receiving pay or payment and gathering fruit for eternal life. Watch it there. He said, the reaper, are you going to be a reaper? Are you going to make sure certain people become born again because of your activities? He says, for the reapers are already receiving their salary, their wages. May God pay you in a special way. I said, may God pay you in a special way. You will have an earthly reward. May you never miss your earthly reward. And you also have an eternal heavenly reward. May you never miss that one too. And what is the eternal heavenly reward? He said, and they are gathering fruits for eternal life. Fruits for eternal life. That means that your obedience to the preaching of the gospel can affect your eternal salvation one day. This is a great mystery and a debate. But watch what Jesus said. Jesus said that those who are reaping, they are gathering for themselves fruit of eternal life. They are preparing for themselves eternal life. That means that those that are claiming they are Christians, but are not witnessing and living in gross disobedience, they are risking their eternal salvation. Whether you will make it to heaven or earth can be affected by your obedience to the Great Commission. But come to think of it, the Bible says that the sons of disobedience shall find their part in the lake of fire or shall be punished. Sons of disobedience. And now you are disobeying the greatest of all the commandments. If people who are disobeying stealing are going to enter into hell, and people who are disobeying fornication, things that are lesser as compared to the final words and the final instructions of Jesus, that we should make disciples, and you disobey, you have an opportunity to live on earth. You didn't die when you became born again, and you have been instructed to witness to other people, and you tell yourself that you will not do it, you are risking your eternal salvation. Yeah. Tell someone, it's very dangerous. Tell someone, it's very dangerous to remain a Christian without winning a soul. It's very dangerous. And you may not understand, but listen, that is why God said in Ezekiel chapter 3, he said, as for the wicked, as for the sinners, they will die, but their blood, I will require it from you. So how can you be enjoying heaven when somebody's blood is speaking in your hands? How can you have the blood of someone on your hand and you are waving it in heaven? It can't work. When you scrutinize scripture carefully, you realize that obedience to this commandment of winning souls can make people enter into heaven and can make people escape heaven and enter into hell. It can make people enter into hell. This issue. And that is something that you should really think about. Because all the people who had opportunity to see the judgment throne and to see heaven, when they came back and they wrote, all of them spoke about evangelism. That when you get there and you are not a soul winner, they require of your souls. And if you are not a soul winner, you are kicked outside. You are kicked away. And so it means that soul winning is something that can have effect or can influence your eternal salvation. And you must be very careful about it. Amen. Clap your hands for the Lord. Now, Revelation chapter 14, verse 14. Revelation chapter 14, verse 14. Then I looked, and that is where we are beginning tonight. We said, the harvest is ready, ripe. So thrust in your sword. Thrust in your sword. Put in your sword. Begin to harvest something. Begin to win. You see, I told you that the people out there, they're already ready. God is preparing their mind. I'm telling you. God is preparing their minds already. All that you need is to start talking to them. Start throwing the sword around. You realize that you'll be cutting a lot of weed, a lot of things. You'll be harvesting a lot of crop. You'll be harvesting a lot of, so you'll be rescued. Just try to speak to someone about Jesus. Begin to do it, and you see that you begin to harvest, because the harvest is already ripe. Then I looked, and there was a white cloud, and one like the Son of Man was seated on the cloud with a golden crown on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. Now watch this very, very, very carefully. Now, this is talking about Jesus, who supposedly, or what we all think, has finished his earthly assignment, isn't it? And it's in heaven, and he's supposed to be reigning in heaven. But you see something very, very interesting about the reigning king. How many of you are Christians reigning? You are seated together with Christ on the throne. Or you don't even know it. You don't even know it. Yeah, Ephesians 1 tells us that we are seated together with him in heavenly places. So as when you become born again, you are reigning in Christ with him together in heaven. And as Jesus is reigning, the way Jesus is reigning, that's how we are supposed to reign. Amen. You cannot reign different from how he's reigning. How he's ruling, that's how we are supposed to also rule as kings. Amen. So now let's see how he's reigning in heaven. The Bible says that one like the Son of Man was seated on the cloud with a golden crown on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. Sickle, the one the Fulanis are holding. So when you go to heaven right now, Jesus has a sickle, a Fulanis sickle. Are you following what I'm saying? What does he need a Fulanis sickle to do in heaven? Is he rearing goats over there? Is he raising sheep over there? No, but come to think, or am I reading something strange? He seated on the throne, and I thought he would hold what other people are holding. Or I thought he would just have all the gold around him and a heavy hand. But the Bible says that in respect of the fact that he has the crown, he also has the assignment. He has the sickle. He has not forgotten the sickle. But we have Christians who are reigning together with Christ. And all that we are doing is confessing our place in heaven and our dominion and what Christ has done for us. And we are forgotten that aside the crown, there is a sickle. Tell someone, aside the crown, there is a sickle. So aside the fact that you are going about saying, I'm a child of God, I must have money, I must be rich, I must be this, I must be that, I must be great, I must drive the best car, you must not forget that there's also a sickle. Aside the crown, there's a sickle. You cannot be only conscious of the crown and be unconscious of the sickle. Now, a lot of Christians are conscious about who they are in Christ. New believers. And they confess it, and they say it, and they bully the devil. But they have forgotten that because of who they are in Christ, they have also received a sickle. They have also received a job. There's a work we must do, not just reign with him. Let's continue. And another angel came out of the sanctuary, crying out in a loud voice to the one who was seated on the cloud. And he said, use your sickle and reap. Use your sickle and reap. What is the King James? He said, thrust in your sickle. Thrust in your sickle. That is all my concern for tonight. Thrust in, yes. As for the sickle, you'll be holding it. The sickle was given to you the day you became born again. But the voice that is shouting tonight
is that begin to do something with a sickle. Trust in your sickle. Trust in your sickle. Trust in your sickle. Begin to do something. Use your sickle. Tell the one by you, use your sickle. There's a sickle in your hands. There's a knife in your hands. What does the sickle represent? Now, go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. From verse 17, you will see something interesting. Because when you become born again, something is put into your hand. After you are enthroned as a king, something is given to you. And that is what is prophetically demonstrated here. That there is something in the hands of Jesus. There is something in the hands of those that are also reigning with Jesus. And let's look at what that thing is. Now, let's start from verse 17. It said, therefore, we are all reading together, one go. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Amen. Now, who is this scripture talking about? Oh, hello. Who is it talking about? Are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? So who is this scripture talking about? You. Say me. This scripture is talking about me. Tell the one by you. This scripture is talking about me. And it's talking about you. When you become born again, you have been brought out of the world and made a new creation. But you see, he did it and there. Something was put into your hand. Something was put into your hands. And let's look at what that is. Go to verse 18. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us, underline, the ministry of reconciliation. Say the ministry. Now, bolding that or lay emphasis on the ministry of reconciliation. The Bible says that anybody who becomes, I mean, you said that verse 17 was for you. Was the 17 for you? Or now you have resigned from it? You don't want it anymore? Do you still agree that 17 was talking about you? Was talking about Christians. So the verse 18 too was still talking about Christians, isn't it? He says, after you become born again, Christ has given you the ministry of reconciliation, or the assurance, he has given to you the work. That you will witness to other people, you will reconcile other people to him. Clap your hands for the Lord. Ask somebody, do you understand? Somebody say, okay, the ministry of reconciliation, how did it become a sword or a knife that you are saying is the sickle? Go to verse 19. We are just take your time. We are still working it. We have not gotten it. Verse 19. He says, to wait or to the extent that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses upon them, but has committed unto us. Now underline the word. Say the word. Of reconciliation. Now, the 18 says the ministry of reconciliation. And you say you don't like that one. So he has broken it down in case you are confused. There is something called the word. The word. Have you been reading the word? Say the word. The word of God is the word of reconciliation. The word of God you have been reading is why you have gotten closer to God. That is what we call the word of reconciliation. So the Bible says that when you become born again, immediately you are given something. And it is the word of reconciliation. Something that you should say to other people. That's the word. Ephesians, give me Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. Tells us that the word is a spiritual knife. And that's the sickle here. You are laughing now. I now get it. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword. What is sword? Is sword not for cutting? Sword is not for harvesting. sword, knife, and those. So when he says sacred, he's talking about a knife, a cutting object. And in the realm of the spirit, when you see yourself with either a knife or a kitchen knife or a whatever, or a sickle or a sword, it stands for the word of God. He said, and the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. Say, the sickle is the word of God. And every Christian has been given the word of God to reconcile other people to God. You have been given the third one, but you have been given the word of God to reconcile other people, to bring other people to God, to church, to the kingdom of God. Clap your hands together for Jesus. Which is the word of God. It is what we call the word of reconciliation, or the ministry of reconciliation. And that is what we call the gospel. The word of God is what we call the gospel. Amen. Whenever you come across the gospel, we are talking actually about the word of God that reconciles sinners unto God. It's the good news. The good news. So when you read Romans 1 verse 16, go there. Romans 1 16. You see that the word of God, which is the word of reconciliation, is what we call the gospel. That's what I'm saying, that you must preach the gospel to your friends and to your family. You must invite them to church. You must have a new soul in this church. You must give birth. You must be fruitful. It's very, very simple. Bible says that I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it is the power of God. Are you here? It's the power of God that brings what? Repentance, or brings righteousness to both the Jews and to the Gentiles. And in it, the righteousness of God is revealed. Hallelujah. So it is the gospel of God that can bring salvation unto man, both to the Jews, to the those in Israel, and to we, the Gentiles. We are the Gentiles, those who are not part of Jews. And in it is the righteousness of God revealed. Hallelujah. So when we talk about the word of reconciliation, we are simply talking about the gospel. It is what has power to save human beings. Nothing can save mankind than the gospel. That's why when God decided to help mankind, he became a preacher. Say, God became a preacher. When God decided to help mankind, he didn't come building hospitals and factories. When he decided to solve the problem of mankind, he didn't need hospitals. He did not need police stations. He didn't come to open prisons and rehabilitation centers. When he came, he did not come to modify character. He came to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. So if you want to save souls, what you need is not prisons. What you need is not police station. What you need is not rehabilitation centers. What you need, more churches, more places where they preach the gospel. That's what Jesus came to do. That's why it's the highest profession on earth. Yeah, because when God decided to help mankind, he became a preacher. 1 Corinthians 1:21. What did he say? Oh, are you here? He said, because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jews and also to the Greek or the Gentiles. To the Jews and to the... And then verse 17, for in it is the righteousness of God revealed. Hallelujah. So you see, when you have the word of God in your hands, child of God, you are having the sickle. And the weapon is power. That's why it's a weapon. The word of God is the gospel. It can clear. It can weed. It can harvest. It's called the gospel. Say the gospel. Come on, say the gospel. Come on, say the gospel. The word of God that saves sinners is called the gospel. The gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 to 4, tells us what the gospel is. Paul spoke to the Corinthians and told them quickly. He says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand. The gospel is what he preached before he got the souls in Corinth. If you win your father, if you win your mother, it is not by sympathy. If you win the people out there, it's not by sympathy. Sympathy cannot save the world. Preaching of the gospel can. Preaching of the gospel. Nothing can change a drug addict. It's a preaching of the gospel. Nothing can change a womanizer. It's a preaching of the gospel. I have practical personally experienced what I'm saying. I have dealt with dangerous people, but they kowtowed at the gospel. People changed because of the gospel. What their parents couldn't do. We have drug addicts whose fathers were soldier men. But when they joined church, their characters changed. When they started hearing the gospel, their behaviors changed. But their militarized fathers training couldn't change them. At all. Say the gospel. Come on, say the gospel. And this is the gospel. The moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you are standing. The gospel is what will make you stand. And what is the gospel? Quickly. By which also you were saved, if you keep in memory that were what I preach unto you, unless you believed in vain. Verse 3. For I delivered unto you, now this is the gospel, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. So the gospel consists of one, Christ dying for our sins. And two is what? Two. And that he was buried, talking about the burial of Jesus. And three, that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. Hallelujah. So when you are talking about the gospel, all that you are talking about is that good news about the death, the burial and the resurrection of Jesus that has brought freedom to all mankind. That's what we call the gospel. That's the gospel. Listen, this month, I'm releasing you by the power of the Holy Spirit to go into your families, go to your friends, go to the people on the street, go to strangers, go to people on your phones, your business customers, and people you are connected to through academies. I command you to go to them and tell them that, listen, brother, I know you are a sinner, but Jesus died, was buried, and rose up again. So your sins are cancelled. You are no longer owing heaven. Your sins are cancelled. That's the good news. And good news doesn't make people tremble. Good news is not about hell. Good news is about love. When I preach to you about hell, it is not the gospel. Say yes. When I preach to you about hell, it's not the gospel. I preach to you about hell. That's when I preach to you about contamination. But the gospel is from a Greek word that means good news. And good news cannot be hell. Hell is frightening. Hell is not good news. Gospel is not about wearing wig and trowel and why are you wearing trowel? Why are you wearing wig? Why are you wearing earrings? That's not gospel. And you must wear lipstick. You must not wear lipstick. It is bunny. It is not bunny. Makeup is bunny. Nails is bunny. That's not gospel. He told us what gospel he preached. He said the story about the death, the burial, and the resurrection. So when I tell you about the dangers of hell, and I ended it by telling you that but Jesus Christ died on the cross 2,000 years ago, and by his blood he has wiped away your sins 2,000 years ago, and because of that, your sins are now canceled, your abortion is canceled, your womanizing is canceled, your stealing is canceled, your murder is canceled, and all your sins are canceled. So just receive him and you make it from hell into heaven. That is the gospel. Amen. And this is the sickle in your hands. Tell somebody, this is the sickle in your hands. This is the sickle in the hands of Jesus who was seated on the cross. He started preaching the gospel, true or not true? The Bible says that he came, and right after his fasting and prayer, what did he start? He started preaching the gospel about the kingdom of God. He's the first preacher of the gospel. First preacher of the gospel. And you and I, the Bible says that we have been given the word of reconciliation, the gospel. Because it's the power of God to salvation. It is what can save mankind and reveal mankind from righteousness to righteousness. He can expose us to what righteousness is. That's the gospel. Hallelujah. Tell somebody you have it in your hands. You have been reading it every day. You have been hearing it every day. It is time to use it. Tell him it is time to use it. Now, let's go to Revelation 14, verse 14 again. And that is why the angel... So I just came to prove to you what the sickle... So let's go back to where we saw the sickle. That is why the angel shouted and said, use the sickle. Ah, how can you be holding such power? And you are still sitting on the throne. And people are going to hell. How can you be holding such power? And life-saving boat, and you are not saving people. People are drowning. People are dying in the water. And you have a boat. Why can't you help save them? Wow, are you such a wicked person? Say, the sickle is in my hands. The sickle is in your hands. It can save drunkards. I know them. It can save weed smokers. I know them. It can save people who smoke jot. I know them. People who are highly addicted, who are doing heroin. It can save them. I have seen them. I've seen them. I've handled some of them practically. The gospel is what changed them. It is the power of God. It is the power of God. It is the power of God. It is not anointing oil. It is the gospel. The gospel. Say, I was saved by the gospel. If not for the gospel, you know where you would have been by now. What? If not for the gospel, like, you know where you'd be by now. If not for the gospel, how you hope you will, baby. But only for the gospel. There is something that keeps pulling you back to God. When they are trying to take you to your past, there is some rope that keeps pulling you back. It is called the gospel. If not for the gospel, by now I would have been somewhere fooling about. Maybe HIV car has killed me. Maybe I would have taken some. But by now, if you see me, you know that this one is Shiman. Today when I drove past that corner there, I saw that they've set some stores, those prostitute joints and weed smokers joint on fire and destroy at the Akata. And when you see the guys who are sitting there, how they've been destroyed, you see their face, you see their appearance, you say, oh, is this a human being? And they are there in hell, and they are being destroyed. And you see the women, they look like men. They are drinking and smoking, and they are the same prostitutes, and they are there. And I say that, what can change these people? No amount of advice can change them. Their family members have advised them over and over and over and over. There is something that keeps pulling them back. There is something that keeps pulling them to hell. It is called the power of sin and death. But the Bible says, for the life in Christ has made me free from the power of sin and of death. Romans 8 verse 2. So the only thing that can set them free is not your advice, brother.
You go and call and say, see, you're a nice girl. Stop prostituting. You know,
give her all the money in this world. She will take the money there and rather buy it for the men and prostitute for free. She rather tell the men that today no pay. Today I have money, so it's for free. You know, there is something that is working on the inside that is making her do that on the outside. And it is only the gospel that can enter. Hebrews 4 verse 12. It said the word of God is active, sharp, piercing asunder soul and spirit. Do you understand that? So the word of God is the only thing that can enter to save them. You better go and preach. Say the gospel. It's the sword. It's the sickle. It's the only thing that can save them. Because it is sharp. It is powerful. It is sharper than any double-edged sword. It can divide. It's the gospel. Nobody can be saved. Your mother can never be saved without the gospel. Your father, you have advised him. He keeps going back to blue kiosk. Nothing can save him. Your father doesn't stay at home with your mother. You know it. In fact, you have been helping him keep some of the girlfriends away from your mother. You are a very loyal son. Don't worry. But what can save you? What can save your father is the gospel. One day you have to just beg him to sit down and pray and fast for like 1 week. And sit in front of him and start speaking the gospel out of fire. See, that's why this week I said, everybody, how many of you are fasting? Some are eating. Oh dear. That's why I told you that fast and pray. So that those people you are going to speak the gospel to, the gospel will not come out of refrigerator. It will come out of the furnace of fire. The gospel will come out of a boiling fire. There will be something boiling. By the time you release one word, it is like a hot knife in a margarine. It will just move it like that with speed. You see that they listen to you and you are saying the same word. The same thing they've been hearing every day. But something has captivated them. Something has held them bound. And for once in their life, they break down in tears. And say, what can I do to be saved? I pray that you will save millions. You'll be a proper rescue agent. So tell somebody, use your sickle. Brother, take me back to Revelation 14:14. Are you following the story? Revelation 14, 14. He said, now with that understanding of what the sickle is, which is the gospel, the sharp word of God. Then I looked, and there was a white throne, and one that sat on it, the Son of Man, was seated with a crown of gold on his head, and a sharp sickle in his hands. Sharp one, not a dull one. Prayer treated gospel. Prayer injected gospel. Not the one that, oh, you need food there. You see somebody there, Pastor said we should win and so. It doesn't save anybody. The one that you pray and you fast, and when you stand before your class, the most rowdiest person in the class is even arrested by your presence, and they cannot shut you down. They will only sit down and just listen to you like that. It comes by prayer. That's why Jesus made sure he prayed before. That's why he warned the disciples, go and wait in the upper room, because the gospel that cuts comes through fire. It comes through fire. This week we are receiving baptism of fire. Yes. Oh, you are not. I said we are receiving baptism of fire. Yes. Say, oh God, baptize me with the Holy Ghost and fire to speak your word for the salvation of all my friends. Shout an amen. Amen. Go to the next. That then another angel came out, and the angel shouted, use your sickle and reap. Trust in your sickle and harvest. Trust in. Take an action. Do something. Speak to that brother from this week. Speak to that sister. Talk to that person. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Talk to that boss of yours. Talk to that mother. Talk to that father. Go to verse 16. And he that sat on the cloud, he thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. So even Jesus obeyed the voice, the call to evangelism. The voice shouted, thrust in. And he didn't say, I'm raining, but he thrusted in. He used the sickle. This week, I'm declaring unto you, as the voice that is shouting in heaven, use the gospel. Speak the gospel. Be instant in season and out of season. Speak it when you are ready and when you are not ready. When you do it on purpose and out of purpose. When you just meet that brother, just say it. Let it be your normal conversation from today. Anybody you meet, you find out about their salvation. Trust in the second. And then he reaped the earth. I declare that you will reap your own world. You will reap those friends you have targeted, those relatives in your family, those people that you want to harvest for the kingdom of God. I prophesy that they will all follow you to church. They will all follow you to church. This month, nobody can refuse your invitation. I said, nobody can refuse your invitation. Shout your loudest amen here with me. Listen to me. This church, God has called us with a purpose. Maybe you don't know. But God has called us to harvest Odoko in the rest of the world. And that is why we are here. Today I told myself that, oh, yesterday, since they heard about what I'll teach today, they won't come. Don't worry. But I'll teach 10 people who come. I'll just teach them. Those 10 people, they will reproduce after their kind. Serious other 10. And God will be giving us the laborers he's talking about. So I wasn't ready for everybody. I was ready just for 10 people. Because whether you like it or not, we will make us do the will of God. This church will make you do the will of God. This church will make you harvest souls for the kingdom of God. Shout your loudest amen. And now look at what happened. Verse 17. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven. He also having a sharp sickle. Look at the work going on in heaven. They that they said they have finished their work, and they have left the rest for us. But they are still not relaxing. They are still doing something on the throne. In heaven, after Jesus has harvested his portion, the angels also started. So after pastor has preached, the members too must start. Do you understand what I'm saying? After the leader has preached, the members must start preaching. So when you leave here, go and start preaching. I said, when you leave here, go and do what? I said, go and do what? Start preaching on your WhatsApp phone. Start preaching in your house. Write letters to certain stubborn people. Send text messages to certain stubborn people. Go and knock on the door of certain people. Go and preach to certain friends at school. Go and preach to certain people in your workplaces. When you live here, start preaching. Because when the angels saw what Jesus did, they also started. Unless you are not a son and a daughter of this ministry. But if you are a son and a daughter of this ministry, you know your pastor is an evangelist. So you also must be what? Come on, talk to me. You also must be what? And wherever you are, you must be a rescue agent. I said you must be a rescue agent. It is not a title. It is a responsibility. You must be a rescue agent. Wherever you find yourself, save somebody from destruction. Amen. Oh, amen. Give me that background. That background with a drowning man. This is it. When we say you're a rescue agent, this is it. Can you see one hand drowning? Do you see one entering into hell? One who is about dying, and you see another savior. Shout, I'll be a savior of men. Say, I'll be a savior of many, many, many men. I'll be a proper rescue agent. No, it is not just a shirt for you to wear. It is a work for you to do. I said, it is what? It's a work for you to do. Not just a shirt for you to wear. No. For you to be walking about, somebody says, hey, rescue agent, then you feel fine. It is for you to walk on the sand. It is for you to do what this man is doing. They are drowning. They need Jesus. They are in the world. Relationship is killing them. They need Jesus. Alcohol is killing them. They need Jesus. Drugs killing them. They need Jesus. Bad friendship killing them. They need Jesus. People are dying because of the kind of job they are doing. They need Jesus. And you and I, we have been called in such a time like this for us to go out there and offer a saving hand. Offer a rescuing hand. Offer a rescuing hand. And say that I will not let you die. My brother, I will not let you enter into hell. My sister, I will not let you enter into hell. Offer them a saving hand. Do it better if you are clapping. And that is why, for the 4 Saturdays ahead of us, everyone who believes is a rescue agent, you are asking for permission in your workplace. You are coming here live and calling. 2 o'clock p.m. to 4. We are going out. If you like, don't come. I'm not waiting for you. We are going out to do the work of our Lord and Master. Do not hold back your sickle. Trust in your sickle. I have a sickle. You have a sickle. You have a sickle. When Jesus did his, when Jesus trusted his sickle, the angels also started trusting their sickle. I am trusting my sickle. You must also start trusting your sickle. This month, we must fill this whole place for the kingdom of God. I said we must fill this whole church with people. Go back to verse 17. And verse 17, it said, then another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven. He also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar. Now watch it. One angel was holding the sickle. And another angel came out of the altar. And shouted. The first angel shouted for Jesus to trust him. The second angel shouted for another angel. But I love where the second angel came from. The Bible says he came from where? He came from where? Where is your pastor standing? Where is your leader standing? Where is the angel of the church standing? So I am coming out of the altar. And I'm saying, God's way, trust in your sickle. Michael, trust in your sickle. Millicent, trust in your sickle. Trust in your sickle. Trust in your sickle. Trust in your sickle. Out of the altar, I'm shouting, there is a voice of rescue. And I'm shouting to you, that trust in your sickle. Go and save somebody out there. Shout an amen. Say, I will trust in my sickle. Oh, shout, I will trust in my sickle. Sit down. Now the Bible says, and so the angel also trusted in his sickle, and the earth was gathered. Clap your 2 hands together for the Lord. Do you love what you just read? Now, how do you effectively trust in your sickle and reap? How can you effectively trust in your sickle? How can you effectively win souls? How can you trust in your sickle? So how to effectively trust in your sickle and reap souls? Number one, do not be ignorant of your most important ministry of soul winning. Do not be ignorant of your most important ministry. Don't intentionally pretend like you don't even know that soul winning is there. At least you are in this church, you have heard it. Thank God you have entered into this church in such a time like this. The Bible tells us in Matthew 28 verse 18, it said, go ye therefore, make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe whatsoever I taught you, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go therefore, make disciples. When you come to Mark 16:15, it said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. This is the Great Commission. Say, the Great Commission. Don't pretend like you don't know it. I taught you. Don't pretend like you don't know it. Don't act like you don't know it. Don't be ignorant that it is your number one ministry. Say, soul winning is my number one ministry. Why? Because 2 Corinthians, where I read from, chapter 5, verse 18, says that he has given you the ministry of what? Reconciliation. So before you became whoever you are, the first ministry you received when you became born again was what? To be a chorister, to be a prayer warrior, to be a pastor like I'm doing here, to be an what? The first thing you receive is for you to be a soul winner, not for you to be an elder, deacon, sound engineer, media. No. Say no. The first ministry you receive, is it to be an usher? And to catch people who are falling? As a pastor, the first ministry I receive, is it to go and bury dead bodies? And officiate weddings? Say no. The first ministry you receive when you became born again, verse 17 talks about you. He said, we are new creation, we are born again. Verse 18 says that because of that, he has given us the ministry. And I love the reason why he used ministry, because you would have said, oh, it is not ministry. Say, it's a ministry. So everybody here, you have a ministry. And your first ministry is what? Reconciliation. Preaching the gospel. Say, preaching the gospel. Your first assignment is preaching the gospel. So before you do any other thing, you must preach the gospel. Preaching the gospel. That one is for everybody. Say, it's for everybody. It is the one talent. The Bible says that in Matthew chapter 25, when you read the story carefully, you see that he gave someone one talent. And he gave another two talents. And he gave the other... Let me demonstrate it. Collins, come. Maybe Collins is the first person. Maybe he's born again now. And then I give him one talent per. So you have only one talent. And that one talent is what we've been told. That at least if you don't have anything at all, you have one talent. So I give you one talent. So winning. And then I call second person. Born again. And then when he came, I gave him soul winning and prayer ministry. Everybody listen. So now this guy has soul winning. He has only one. So do your hand this way. So we close. And you do your hand this way. You have two. Two. Soul winning and what? Prayer. Third person, come. When this guy became born again, I'm God. I'm distributing gifts. And I gave him, listen to how I'm giving the thing, oh, soul winning, prayer, and singing. So this guy can do what? Soul winning, prayer, and singing. Then I called the last person. And this person, I gave him soul winning, prayer, singing. Can you sing? Singing. And then I gave him maybe ushering. So he has how many? Four. Now this guy has what? And the one is what? This guy has what? And the two are what? This guy has what? And they are what? And this guy has how many? And they are what? So now, what is the most important gift that everybody has? What is the most important gift that everybody here was given? So before this guy became an usher, he first had what? Before he first became a chorister, he first had what? Before he became a prayer warrior, he first had what? He said God has given him no anointing. He can't see vision. He can't sing. He's just in the church. But God gave him what? Agbena. Take back your seat. So tell the one seated by you, I know you don't have anything gracious, but you have soul winning. It was given to every Christian. It was given to every Christian. And you know what happened to that gentleman when the master came back and he didn't use it. He didn't use the one. That one everybody in church has. He didn't use it. And the Bible says, well, the master said, come, give it back to me. Took it from him and ordered, carry him. And they carried him and threw him. Look at verse 25 of this same place. He said, I was afraid and went to hide the talent, the ministry, talent ministry in the earth. And lo, thou hast, what is that? You can take your one. I mean, I didn't use it. Take it. You anointed this person more. You gave him singing. You gave him this. You gave him that. He can pray. He can do this. That's for me when you call me raw papa. You have one. You have one there. Use the one. Look at what God will do to those of you who are not using the only one. You have said, you know, Pastor Prince can do this. He can do this. He can do that. Me, I can't do anything. You can do one. You can do one. You can do one. But his master replied to him, everybody, we are all reading one go. But his master replied to him, you evil, lazy slave, if you knew that I reap where I haven't sown and gather where I haven't scattered, next, then you should have deposited my money with the bankers or my gifts. And when I returned, I would have received my gifts back with interest. Then verse 28. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10. Give it to the one who has done something. And then what happened? And then what happened? To everyone who has, go next. And throw this. Everybody, read it. Read it. You see, it's like the that's what I'm telling you, that your obedience to this soul winning thing can determine whether you enter into heaven or not. I'm not a theologian. I don't care about your new creation, whatever. I'm teaching what I see in the Bible. You can argue it. You can argue. He says, throw this good for nothing slave into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Throw him. Throw him away. Say, mercy, Lord. Say, mercy, Lord. That is why from today you must do something about this gift you have. Say, I have the only one gift. Say, at least I have that one gift. I may not be able to sing, but I have that one. I may not be able to speak in big tongues, but I have that one. I may not be able to dance like a boogie star, but I have that one. I may not be able to usher, but I have that one. Maybe you cannot play the instrument. You have that one. That one. You have that one. Use it. Tell somebody, use it. Tell somebody, use the sickle. Use the sickle, the gospel, the sword. Clap your two hands and take back your seat. Hallelujah. Number two, how to effectively trust him. We said number one, don't be ignorant that it is your important ministry. Once you are not ignorant, you will do something about it. Number two, how do you effectively trust in your sickle? Do not be ashamed to trust in your sickle. Number two is don't be ashamed. There are some people who know number one, like I've taught them. So from today, they know that they have the ministry to talk to other people about Jesus. But what will stop them is called shame. Shame is what stops a lot of people. But you see, as a Christian, you need what the Greek call anedeia, shamelessness. You don't need to be ashamed. You must not be ashamed. You think there are people in this world, are they ashamed? No, they are not ashamed. When you pass through the Akata, don't you see people folding the wheat? Don't you see them? Right in front of you, then they'll do this. And then by the time you are coming, they are doing it more. Applying saliva to the paper to make it roll well. I've seen them say, I'm like, hey, you are not even ashamed that I'm coming. They are not ashamed. Having to see prostitutes, by the time you are walking, they are calling you. Say shamelessness. Say shamelessness. Those who are serving the devil, they are shameless. Unfortunately, those who are doing bad things are shameless. But we who are doing the right thing, we are saving good people or saving people from hell, we who God has called us, we are rather ashamed. We are rather ashamed. You see, somebody who has taken alcohol and going this way, and he will even be insulting you, and it was shamelessness. He's not shy of you. He will insult you. He doesn't care. But you are ashamed. To get up and preach in the bath, you are ashamed. To talk to that brother, Jesus has spoken to your heart, talk to this brother about Jesus, you are ashamed. You are in the class, you hear on the inside of you, get up and preach, you are ashamed. When I was in the university, a lot of bad guys, they will get up in the class. While the lecturer is not around, someone will be on the board drawing breasts. Different sizes of breasts and milk dripping. I say, this is size one, this is obochumula, this is oborobo. This, and they will draw all the sizes. And people are laughing, and people are commenting. And then it's like, they are doing something very nice. They are not ashamed. They are not ashamed. Someone can go and draw a woman's back, different sizes. Anything at all, they are not ashamed. They can be talking about profane things. They can go and spell things they want. They are not ashamed. But when God speaks to us, when we want to get up to preach, then we are ashamed. Then we are ashamed. Then we are ashamed. They have the bad one and they are not ashamed. We have the right thing and we are ashamed. What an unfortunate incident. Back in the university, there were days that you can see in the hall, someone can just come out, bring a speaker out of his room and put the speaker on my lane and put in a pornography video and put it in the loudspeaker and on the whole lane, noise. Hey! And it's not ashamed. It's shamelessness. They are serving the devil without being afraid. Whether they'll be rusticated, whether they'll be sent to administration, they don't care. Shamelessness. And you hide your Bible in your bag. So always you have a very big bag. You have your Bible in your bag. When you are coming from church, nobody should know that you are even a Christian. So when you pass by and then the Holy Spirit tells you that, talk to this brother. You say, hey, young man. About Jemmy, me and about Jemmy, be a party. Haven't you seen party? Somebody get up and the person is saying something that has nothing to do with the party before. So why can't you also get up and also tell them, my dear brothers and sisters, I have a very important message for you. I've done it several times. I've been a very odd person. Me, anywhere I go, I lead people to Christ. The only place that I got my honeymoon, if I ask my wife, my wife would tell, when we got to our hotel in the honeymoon, that was when I remember. Do you remember that I told you that? And then my boy, my bro, because my wedding, I couldn't win souls. In fact, I became so sad that night, and up to now I still remember it. I said, how did I forget? How did I forget? If I had remembered, Madhataka, like, message occasion. Because me, when I go to any meeting, whether Kojimo, if you invite me to Kojimo, I'll preach about Jesus. Oh, how many of you have seen me doing that? Unless you don't invite me, unless I don't see people there. Funeral. When you give me the mic to just share the grace, I will first say, if you want to be born again, Jesus died, I will win souls first. When you invite me to your wedding, I even went to an engagement. I stopped the whole engagement and I said, as we are here now, Jesus prophesied that it will be like the days of Noah. They were marrying and they were making. You see that you people are marrying. You are marrying. It's a sign that Jesus is coming. So if you are not born again, be born again. Anything you invite me. So when I got to my honeymoon and I realized that my own golden opportunity. After now, I set the record. If I had remembered, I would have thanked God so much. Exactly. When I got the mic, I don't know how. I just don't know how it happened. When I got to the room and I was like, then it came to me that today you didn't witness to anybody. Is it over excitement? Ow! I'm married. So I've forgotten God. Oh! Jesus. and I'll never get that opportunity again. That my wedding day, I won souls. It's something that I've never forgiven myself to today. But if like I had remembered and I didn't do it, then maybe unless I killed myself. But I didn't remember. Honestly, I didn't remember. Till I stepped into the honeymoon. Then the Holy Spirit said, today, you have gotten a wife. So you have forgotten. Dear Roma, so you have forgotten. What a mistake. Tell somebody, don't be ashamed. Wherever you find yourself, talk to someone about Jesus. Talk to someone about Jesus. Don't be afraid of your friends. Don't be afraid of your classmates. Don't be afraid of people. Every school I've attended from class 5, every school, they knew me to be a preacher. Every school, go and check. Every school. Every school. Every school, from primary, upper primary, they knew me as a preacher. Every school. Unless before class 5, but from class 5. Because I will talk to you about Jesus. Even when I went to SLC Parliament, I was preaching. So, in fact, they used to call me Sacrifice President. You know? Sacrifice President. You know? That was how I was in school. They knew me as Sacrifice President. That was it. May you stand for Jesus. I said, may you stand for Jesus. When I was in secondary school, I was holding Jericho Hour. I had my own revival meeting Saturday morning. And it was more populated than even SU. It didn't become a problem with the SU executives. Because people were coming for my prayer meeting. It's not today. Oh. Shamelessness. I'm not ashamed. I agree with Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed. For it's the power of God unto righteousness, unto salvation. Power of God. Both for the Jews, for everybody, the Greeks, the Gentiles, everyone. I'm not ashamed. Tell somebody, don't be ashamed from today. Don't be ashamed. Luke 9:26. For whoever is ashamed of me, Jesus said, and my words of him, the Son of Man, will also be ashamed when I come into my kingdom. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, you are on earth and you're ashamed of me. When I get to heaven, I'll be ashamed of you. You cannot find a place with me. I'll be ashamed of you. So those of you who hide church, hide your Bible. Because you have never used church item for your status before. Because you don't want them to say, hey, you was it a Ben Abaya born again? Shamelessness. Anadiah. May you not be ashamed. May you be like those who acted the I don't go advert. Don't be ashamed. Shake your body like that. Tell them it's a nice drink. Something that can destroy you. But they are not ashamed. They are very, very confident. And they are showing their bodies and telling you that it will help them in bed. They are not ashamed to tell you what they are going to do with the alcohol. They are not ashamed. But you are ashamed. Ask someone, are you ashamed of Jesus? Number 3, do not be lazy and too comfortable. Don't be lazy. Don't be lazy. A lot of you, not that you are ashamed, you are lazy. Because you have to get up and go and preach at dawn. God has been telling you, get up, go and preach, go and preach. You are stretching. You are stretching. A lot of you just walk and go and talk to somebody. Like the way I say, evangelist, people should come. Laziness, some will not come. Don't be lazy. Don't be lazy. Because the work of the ministry is hard work. And don't be too comfortable. Don't be too comfortable. See, some of you are comfortable Christians. You don't care whether heaven is winning or hell is winning. You don't care. You are just a comfortable Christian. Everything is going well with you. You are just minding your own business. You come to praise the Lord. You pay your tithe. You are a comfortable Christian. Don't be a comfortable Christian. Tell the one by, don't be a comfortable Christian. Jeremiah chapter 48 verse 10. He said, cursed is he who does the work of God deceitfully or with laziness. Cursed is he who does the work of God with laziness. Shepherds, time to go for follow up. Laziness. Remember, you are supposed to go and follow up on someone and bring the person to church. Laziness. You can't wake up early. Laziness. Laziness. Cursed is anyone who does the work of God deceitfully. And cursed is he who keeps his sword from blood. He compares the work of God to sword. Because the sword is what? The sickle. Which is what? The word of the gospel. So cursed is anyone who keeps his sword. So these 430 days as we are going, some people decide to keep their sword from bloodshed. Some people will decide to keep their sickle from harvest. Some people decide that but if it's a funeral, if it's marriage, if it's evangelism, if it's evangelism, they won't allow me. But if it's a funeral, they will allow you. The Bible says that cursed is any man who does the work of the Lord deceitfully. And cursed is the one who withholds his sword when it is time to fight. When it's time. That's what David did. It was time to go and fight. And David said, I'll relax, comfortable in my seat. And that was what led him to sleep with Bathsheba. If that day he had gone to fight, he wouldn't have been a murderer, an adulterer. Amen. Tell somebody, don't stay away when we are doing evangelism. Don't keep your sickle. Trust in your sickle. You to preach. Don't keep it. Don't be comfortable. Don't be comfortable. Don't wait. That's what the disciples did. They were in Jerusalem, comfortable, until God said, you people, you not go and preach. I've told you to go and preach. You are in Jerusalem. Okay, then God released Herod. They stoned Stephen, one. Then they cut off the head of James. Then the rest of them. Don't wait. Don't wait for God to hold your business. Don't wait for God to hold your academic life. Don't wait for God to destroy that relationship that has taken all your life. Don't wait for God to bring judgment on you before you come to Father. Father, don't wait. Amen. Tell somebody, don't wait. 1 Corinthians 15:58. The Bible said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The work of God is called labor. Do you know labor? Do you know labor? There's a difference between labor and work. When you see a laborer, say tonko. The work of evangelism is labor, not for lazy people. It's labor. May you labor for the Lord. Because the Bible says your labor will never be in vain. All shepherds, can I announce to you? Your labor for the Lord will never be in vain. All deacons, all leaders, all evangelists, all of you who are going to win souls, your labor for the Lord will never be in vain. Shout, I'll be rewarded. You are not saying it. Shout, I'll be rewarded. Number 4. Do not be careless or unconcerned. Amos 6, verse 1. What to you who are at ease in Zion? Amos 6, 1. Those of you who are at ease, unconcerned. You're the crystal life. Look, call echo. Call by someone. Someone, Joe praises. Boya. Kakpape, boya. You don't care. Care someone down. Someone down. Sasori ni niyo. And niyo. And fa hon. Open us and confirm by sorry cry. And ya omobo. Un jite. Mikre dena meye. Ah, I equo ye ebeni. What can I do? You don't care. The Bible says that woe is the one who is at ease in Zion. When it is time to fight, you are at ease. You are careless. You are unconcerned. The Bible says, and who trust in Mount Samaria? Notable persons. There are people, they only trust in notable people. They trust in a rich man. My rich uncle will help me. My rich brother, my whatever. This politician, this madam MP, this sister MP, this uncle, this, that. That political alliances. You think that is what will help you? You have not had disappointment before. May the Lord just have mercy on you. The Bible says that, and they put their trust in notable persons in the chief nation to whom the house of Israel comes. But woe is that person who is at ease in Zion. When Zion is travailing, you are at ease and you have put your trust in your own connections. You have put your trust in your school. You think that you don't care what happens there. It's just your own thing. It's just your job. Just your own relationship. You put your trust in it. May you not be like that from today. Mark chapter 4:37. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. Verse 38, but he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him, and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? They went to wake Jesus up. And the boat is sinking, and Jesus, you are sleeping. Do you not care? Jesus was making us understand what it means for people to be dying and going to hell. Do you think that Jesus will sleep? Bible says that God sleepeth not, neither does he slumber. Why did he intentionally sleep on that day? The revelation is that he is giving us a message for today, 2019, for me to be able to explain to you that carest thou doubt not that we perish. That is the attitude of us, attitude of Christians. We don't care when people are perishing. We don't care when our uncles are dying, going to one funeral to another. We don't care whether they are going to hell. We don't care whether our friends are going to hell. We see our friends and they are using worldly status, and we know this person is going to hell, and we don't care. We see our brother, our sister, our family members, our father, and we don't care. We don't bother to pray for them. When was the last day you went on your knees praying for Kojo, praying for Kofi, praying for Kwame, praying that God save a clear? When was the last day you ever did that? Carest thou that we perish? Carest not that we perish. Don't you care? Ask somebody that. Don't you care? So don't you care? So don't you care? They went to ask Jesus. Jesus, we are perishing. Don't you care? I'm also asking you. So the way the church is not full, don't you care? Hey, don't you care? Don't you care that we are ending 2019 and yet we don't have 300 souls? Don't you care? Don't you care when you come and the church is empty? You don't care. Wow. It's all about you. All that you care is your own plans. Don't you care? May you begin to care from today. Tell someone, I care. So these Saturdays, I'll come for the evangelism. I care. 25th, I'll sit by my soul. Clap your two hands together for the Lord. That is what David said. He said, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? 1 Samuel 17:29. Is there not a cause that I'll face Goliath? If I perish, I perish. There's a reason. Is there not a cause that you have to leave your shop? Is there not a cause? You have to leave your parents. Is there not a cause that you have to leave your children and come here for us to go and evangelize? Is there not a cause that you have to also join this work? Is there not a cause? If God's kingdom grows, if this church grows, it is the kingdom of God that has grown. Is there not a cause? If this church grows, all of us will be connected, highly connected. Is there not a cause? If this church grows, people will start chasing us. We too will become popular figure. People will start chasing us. You and I. If this church will grow, you too, you can get a job. You can get contracts. You can get connections. This church will attract multi-millionaires, and they will become your own customers. They will become your own employees. You will be doing business. If this church grows, some of you, your husbands will come out from here. Your wives will come out from here. Some of you, your children, their wives, your future grandchildren, their wives and their daughters, they are going to come from their souls that you are going to bring. Is that not a cause? Is that not a cause? Just that you don't know. You don't know that person who is coming, he's going to bring someone who will come and marry you out of singleness. You don't know. You don't know. You don't know. Is there not a cause? Tell someone there's a reason for us to fight hard, for the church to be filled. Number 5, don't give excuses. Just do the work. Don't give excuses. Luke 14:18. But they all with one accord began to make excuses. Some of them say, oh, I bought a piece of land. I have to go and attend to it. Others say, oh, I've married a wife. I have to go and then enjoy my honeymoon. Another said, oh, I need to go and check some piece of land somewhere. They made excuses. Like the way these Saturdays we say we'll go. Some people have excuses. Oh, you know, Pastor, there's a wedding in my family. There's a funeral. There is this. There is that. My shop. The one that I work with. He has traveled. So I'm left alone with my master. So my master said, well, no, let me come. Excuses. We'll make excuses. Either about our family, either about our job, either about our property or money. We'll make excuses. You just check. When you start making the excuses, connect it. Where do you belong? You will see that for you to be effective in trusting in your circle, you must not make excuses. Hallelujah. Oh, amen. You won't respond. Say amen. Amen. Luke 9:59. Then he said to another, follow me. And then the man said, oh, let me go and bury my dead father. Then Jesus told him, let the dead bury their dead. In other words, stop playing family. Tell somebody, stop playing family. When God is calling you to come and work for him, stop using your family as an excuse. This gentleman was saying, I have to go and bury my father. And Jesus says, oh, Jesus is heartless. Yeah, I mean, you are saying I'm heartless. Me, I don't allow people to do family. Me, I don't allow people to just follow their family without coming to do the work of God. I'm like Jesus. Jesus said, let the dead bury their dead. And come, and let's do the work of God. Say, period. No excuses. Tell someone, no excuses. If you work for God, work for God. Number 6, do not be wicked and selfish. Matthew 25:25. The master said to the man, you are a wicked servant. You hid your one talent. You are a wicked servant. How can you watch someone going to hell? You are a wicked person. You know it. The person doesn't know. You know it. And you are watching. It's like you have HIV medicine. And you are watching your brother who has HIV. And you are not giving him the medicine. Wow. You are a wicked person. Tell other people about Jesus. Tell other people about Jesus. Snatch them. Snatch them. Some of them snatch them. Matthew 26 and then verse 30. Then, number 7, last one. Do not be foolish. Do not be foolish. How to be effective in trusting in your circle? Make sure you are not foolish. It takes wisdom to do what I'm saying. The angel said, trust in your circle, and Jesus did it, and the angels also did it. Why will we also do it if we are wise? The Bible says that wisdom is to hear the word of God and to do it. Foolishness is to hear the word of God and not do it. As I'm preaching, some people are hearing it, but they will not do it. And the Bible compares them to Matthew 7, verse 26, that those who hear my word, like I'm preaching, but they will go, they will not bring anybody, they will not come for evangelism, they will not do the work, their cell will be empty. The Bible compares them to foolish people. And I pray that you not be one of those foolish people. This month, may you be a wise person. Proverbs 11:30 says, the fruit of righteousness is the tree of life. But he who wins a soul, he is wise. He who wins a soul is what? So he who doesn't win a soul is what? I didn't say so. Daniel 12, verse 3. It says, those who are wise, they will shine as the brightness of the firmament of the heavens. And those who turn many people to Christ or to righteousness, they will shine like the stars forever. So those who tell many people, they are the wise people. It has been repeated here. So make sure that you become wise. May foolishness not keep you from heaven. Didn't see an amen. I said, may foolishness not keep us from heaven. May we be wise as soul winners. Shout, I am a wise soul winner. Oh, shout, I'm a wise soul winner. Clap your two hands together. Rise up to your feet.
Beloved, thank you for listening to this message by Pastor Prince Lai. If you have been blessed by this message but have not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, kindly say this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died that I may live. Please forgive me and wash me with your blood. I believe I am a child of God. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. If you have said this prayer, know that your sins have been forgiven and you are now a new creation. We invite you to worship with us on Sundays at Odoko. For more information, please call 054-324-8982 or 024-1372-895. God richly bless you.